Today we come to Micah chapter 2. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Micah chapter 2, verse 1. God says, "Woe to those who plan iniquity, to those who plot evil on their beds. At morning's light, they carry it out, because it is in their power to do it." There's a difference. Excuse my cold, I'm sorry. There is a difference between sudden, impulsive sins and sins that are the result of deliberate planning. There is a difference as far as God is concerned. I know sin is sin, and any unforgiven sin will send a person to hell if Jesus hasn't paid for that sin and washed it away. But there are different levels of sin. And the wealthy and the oppressive people in Israel were either doing evil or planning it. And this is something that had God very angry. And it says in verse 2, he elaborates, "They covet fields and seize them, and houses and take them. They defraud a man of his home, a fellow man of his inheritance." And so the wealthy would cheat the vulnerable out of their land and out of their home. They committed the sin of coveting as well as the sin of dishonesty. Verse 3, "Therefore the Lord says, I am planning disaster against this people, from which you cannot save yourselves. You will no longer walk proudly, for it will be a time of calamity." The wealthy troubled the poor, and so now God will trouble the wealthy. The word of God spoken through Micah did not humble those who were doing the oppressing, so God will humble them. And by the time God is through punishing them, they will no longer feel superior. Their arrogance will be gone. Verse 4. "In that day, men will ridicule you. They will taunt you with this mournful song. We are utterly ruined. My people's possession is divided up. He takes it from me. He assigns our fields to traitors. Assyria will conquer Israel. And as they do, and after they're finished, they will invent songs which will mock the destruction of Israel and also mock her God." Verse 5, "Therefore, you will have no one in the assembly of the Lord to divide the land by lot." The land belonged to Israel only for as long as they were faithful to God. They were told that they would lose their country if they turned their backs on God. And that's what Micah sees happening in this vision. And it is sure to happen, because they won't repent. 6, "Do not prophesy," their prophets say. "Do not prophesy about these things. Disgrace will not overtake us." The false prophets were telling Micah to be quiet. "Do not prophesy," they said. "Do not prophesy." They were saying, "Stop telling us that all these bad things are going to happen to us." See what they were doing? The so-called prophets in the land, the ones that everybody, of course, was listening to, they were trying to stifle the message that if heeded was the only hope of avoiding those bad things. Verse 7, "Should it be said, O house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord angry? Does he do such things? Do not my words do good to him whose ways are upright?" Now, the false prophets were stifling the word of God, and the people were going along with the false prophets. They loved what they heard. They loved the lies. And the people were saying, God isn't angry with us. But then God answered and said, in the last part of verse 7, I only have good news for those who do the right thing, not for people like you. Verse 8, lately my people have risen up like an enemy. You strip off the rich robe from those who pass by without a care, like men returning from battle. People who were not looking for trouble, peace-loving people, were being attacked. And that wasn't just an attack on the innocent. It was open hostility toward God. Verse 9, you drive the women of my people from their pleasant homes. You take away my blessing from their children forever. Vulnerable widows were being cheated out of their homes, the homes that they and their husbands used to live in together. You know, taking away something as important as that from poor widows. Verse 10, get up, go away, for this is not your resting place, because it is defiled. It is ruined beyond all remedy. And that's God talking. God is telling his people to go away. In other words, you are corrupt, so you're going to lose your resting place. In other words, your enemies will carry you into exile. You're leaving your land. 11. If a liar and deceiver comes and says, I will prophesy for you plenty of wine and beer, he would be just the prophet for this people. And so they loved their sin, and they weren't interested in giving it up, and they wanted to justify their sin too. They loved their sin, and therefore they would only accept preachers who would cover for their sins and tell them what they wanted to hear, whether it was right or wrong. So, you know, a prophet like Micah didn't stand a chance. Verse 12, I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. I will bring them together like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. The place will throng with people. So after God pronounces judgment, he also gives them reason for hope in the future. The people will be punished. Many of them will die, but God has not forgotten his people. And verse 12 was partially fulfilled when God brought back some of the Israelites after 70 years of exile. It is being fulfilled in a greater way today through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 13 speaks more of Jesus. He says, one who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them. The Lord is at their head. The king here refers to the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus has broken open the way for people to enter the place of God's blessing. Jesus goes before us. He leads us through good times and through bad times until we arrive safely into his eternal kingdom. Jesus is the real hope of a bright future for both Jews and Gentiles. And all the wonderful promises of a good future for God's people in the Old Testament point ultimately to salvation for both Jews and Gentiles through the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll pick it up in chapter 3 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.